Afternoon, everyone. Great to see you. Great to be here. In Edinburgh, like Gordon said, we were on the road Friday night. I sort of left Cardiff early Friday morning. Then we was in Aberdeen Friday evening. And then back to Edinburgh, down to Motherwell yesterday, where a whole bunch of you guys joined us with a bunch of other guys. So I still feel as I've got a little bit of jet lag from Aberdeen. You know, that two-hour time difference makes all the difference. But also, it's a great privilege to be with Gordon in his home church. And obviously, I bring greetings to you from Paul Thieling Church in the South Wales Valleys. I met Arwin yesterday. Arwin, I've got to get those R's right. And Elizabeth. And so it's great to see a guy from the Valleys. I am of Welsh heritage, but my father was a pastor. Thank you. You can see a little halo probably by now, can't you? But yeah, so I've got Welsh heritage. My parents are from Neath in South Wales. My father is still in ministry, 60 years in ministry, and he started at Aberdeen. So he was very excited that I was in Aberdeen on Friday night. He'd been there. He'd sent there from Bible College. He got engaged, and in those days, if you got engaged, they sent you miles away to cool off. And so he got sent from London to Aberdeen for a month. To go and minister there, and that was 59 years ago. So he's going to be 80 this year and still preaching the word. So that's amazing. I thank God for that heritage that I've got. But he moved from Wales to London when I was 8 years old, and I arrived in London with this taffy accent, speaking like a boil, and everyone was taking the mick out of me, and they were bullying me. So in about 10 days, I became a Cockney. And 30 years later, you know, I'm still a Cockney. But anyway, it's great. So that's the confusion, okay? I think they're quite confused in the Valleys as well, having this Cockney missionary who's really Welsh. So I'm in disguise. But that was tremendous worship this morning, I've got to say. I don't know if you do that all the time to your visiting speakers, but I was completely taken out there. So I want to thank Fiona and the team, and obviously the preparation and the heart for worship that goes into it. You know, that's a tremendous thing. If you come every week and you've got a little bit, you know, comfortable with it, you know, just sort of, you know, thank God for what you've got. It's a real privilege, you know, to walk into a house like this, you know, feel the presence of God in such a way. And, you know, and I never tire of the presence of God. And if we're a little bit tired of the presence, you know, then just sort of, just seek God a little bit more, I'd say, because actually, you know, that's where the power resides, is in the presence. You know, and actually, if we, you know, many times I don't know what to do. You know, things are beyond me completely, and I often wonder how I ended up, you know, doing this stuff. You know, but actually, you know, all the time, you know, I'm driven to my knees, you know, just to seek more of God to get through life. And the older I get, you know, the more challenging it seems to become, and the more responsibilities we have. And if we want to have influence, I think somebody prayed yesterday, if we want to have influence, you know, then that, there comes responsibility with that. And it is well beyond us many times. And so the presence of God is something that will equip us to be all that God's called us to be. I've got to remember to keep looking up, you know, because you're up there. It's like 16 stories high, isn't it? Up there. So it's great to be here. So I'm going to come to the word. Gordon's introduced me. I'm really grateful for Gordon's help on the National Empower team. I'm grateful to you as a church that you released Gordon to do that, as well as the other roles that he's got, and as well as, you know, him being a great pastor. You've got a great pastor in Gordon. So Gordon said amen. You have. Yeah. And so we thank God for him and his wisdom and experience and all that stuff. I know he looks old enough to be my dad, you know, but, you know, he's not, but he could be spiritually sometimes. So that's great. So I'm not going to go on about that. I'm calling the men to prayer in the next year. I want to thank all the women here for all the prayers you say on behalf of the men. And I've seen many men come to Christ because women prayed for them. You know, their mothers, wives, sisters, you know, so many men, you know, are in the kingdom today because of the prayers of, you know, warrior prayer women. And I thank God for that covering. But I think it's about time the men prayed for themselves. So, you know, Paul said to Timothy, didn't he, that, you know, he wished that all men would pray, you know, instead of arguing with one another, that they'd lift up holy hands in prayer. And so we're calling the men to prayer over the next year or so. And so, women, if you want to pray for that to happen, you know, I'd really appreciate it, and Gordon Wood and the rest of the team. But I'm going to bring, you know, I think we've only booked an hour of time, haven't we? I know, yeah, he's panicking now. But I'm going to bring a little word from my heart. I sort of came into the year, you know, with this prayer, famous prayer in the Bible. And as I've just said, I continually find myself in a position whereby I'm out of my depth. I'm out of my depth. I'm not sure with all these mobile devices, you know, we never know what's going to come down a mobile device, do we, in terms of emails, texts, situations, and in our role and occupation, all sorts of stuff can come at us. And I'm sure with many of you also, you know, in the roles that you play in the workplace, you know, you're Jesus representatives, you know, in the marketplace. And so many times I find myself in a position where I'm out of my depth and I need my prayer life to go to a whole nother level. And so as I came into this year, my attention was grabbed once more by one man and the outcome of his prayer, which is positioned in a very obscure part of the Bible. It could be one of those parts of the Bible that you might skip over. You know, what's the point of reading genealogies? You know, it's a bit like Leviticus, isn't it? You know, when you get into, you know, the depth of Leviticus, and you think, whoa, you know, where's this going? How can I get my head around this? Well, we're in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and so right in the middle of this genealogy, which is 8 chapters long, we have an interruption, or we have an intervention, and we get a little bit more detail on one of the guys who's the son of a guy who's the son of a one and son of someone else. And his name is Jabez. And so it's only 2 verses. It was 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Some of you might know it well. You know, it's a prayer that I've prayed for many years, but I came to it afresh to see, you know, how I could apply it to all aspects of my life. You know, not just ministry, but I'm a father of 4 sons. 3 of them are grown up, 2 of them are married. I've got a 12-year-old and one who's thinking about getting married, and a Cocker Spaniel, you know, if that makes any difference to anyone. And I've got, she's 14. She shouldn't be here, to be honest. She's deaf as a bat. So we have to use sign language with her now. And so it's a lot harder. And I've got 4 grandchildren, 1 granddaughter, and another one on the way. So I've got all of that. And my heart is to pray into all of that, not just ministry stuff, but into my family stuff. You know, my wife and I, we've agreed in prayer for all of our children, the oldest of which is 28, from before they were born. Because we believe God has a plan and a purpose for each of their lives. We've been deliberate and intentional about praying into the lives of our children and now our grandchildren. And we've, you know, thank God, you know, we've seen him bless their lives and their, you know, keeping the faith and running with the Lord, you know, and that's a massive joy and it's a massive privilege for us to see that and be part of that in our family. And so we come to this prayer and it's 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, and it says there that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm or evil, as the King James says, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. And so, Father, I thank you that we have the privilege of having access to your word. Lord, there's many that don't have access to your word in the world today, but we have access, free access to this living word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray, Lord, that as your word and your Holy Spirit marry up today, that you will speak into our lives, that you will speak into our situations, that you will speak into the future of this church, of what will be, Lord. We're on that side of the seesaw. And so, Father, come by your Holy Spirit. Continue to abide with us. And, Lord, give us fresh revelation today of something that we can run with from this place and that will make a difference to our lives as we seek to be an overflow of blessing and difference to other lives in the world in which we live. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So who is Jabez? You've got to dig deep to try and find anything, and probably the stuff that you do find is conjecture anyway, but we do know one thing about Jabez. It's said there that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. We know that he was a man of Judah. We know that he was named by his mother because she bore him in sorrow and called him a pain. His prayer reflects the meaning of his name. But yet, Jabez wasn't going to be limited by what somebody else had called him. And so he decided that he was going to look for God's highest and best and alternative for his life. He would not be defined by the name that he was given, but he was going to be defined. He had come to a point in his life and he decided that he was going to be defined by his heart relationship with God. It's for sure that he had a look around the borders of his own life, the territory in which he lived. He had a look around. Perhaps he had a small holding, perhaps he had an estate, I don't know, but he had a look around, and one day he came to the conclusion that actually, is this it? Is this what my life is going to be defined by? Am I going to be limited by these borders? Am I going to be limited by the label that someone else has put on me? And he decided that he wasn't going to be defined by that. He decided that he came into agreement with himself that he wasn't going to allow his past to determine his future. He wasn't going to allow somebody else's labels to define him. And it may be, as we were praying in the room earlier today, it was like a little Welsh revival meeting in there. Because, Jesus said those words, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there in the midst. And he put that verse in for pastors when it comes to the prayer meeting. He put it in there so that if only two or three turn up, it's all right. We're doing what Jesus did, so we can always be encouraged. But we prayed that we felt people would need a breakthrough. This word breakthrough kept coming through this morning. And some of you are needing a breakthrough. Some of you have lived with somebody else's label on your life for too long. Some of you have allowed your past to define where you've come to now. And that was confirmed by the prophetic word, wasn't it? That actually, you're sitting on that side of the slide, of the seesaw. I need to get over to that side of what will be. That's gone. That's all gone. That's all gone. I just wonder, and obviously you've already picked up, I get a little bit passionate. I get a little bit excited. I cry in the worship. And you're head of men's ministry. Get a grip of yourself. But it gives me hope. If I shed a tear, it gives me hope. It gives me hope that God and the Holy Spirit can still penetrate my heart. That I don't have to pretend to be anything I'm not. That I am what I am. And actually, if I try and live by somebody else's labels, and let me tell you, there's plenty of people who want to stick labels on us about what they think we should be and who they think we are. And actually, you know what? They don't know anything about us. I listen to some people and I think to myself, have you any idea who you're talking to? I don't actually say it to them. I just think it. But actually, I'm a son of the King. There's no condemnation for me because I'm in Christ Jesus. You can say what you want, but God has given me hope for the future and he's got plans to prosper me. That's what he's put on my life. And there's loads of areas in which I've failed and loads of areas in which I've sort of let God down and other people down. But I get goosebumps now just thinking about the grace of God and the mercy of God and the fact that he's lavished his love upon me and upon you, because we're children of the King. And if you haven't heard that message, then the big message is that God loves you. God loves you. But he was getting a little bit passionate here. The authorized version says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And I'm sure Arwen could say with, some Welsh undertones to that. But let me tell you, his mother didn't bother being polite. She just called him a pain. Fancy giving birth. I know all women give pain in birth. It's painful to watch it. I have to take gas in here. I'm taking the gas in here. You know, the missus should have been taking it, you know. But actually, you know, so that's obvious, you know, that it's painful. But actually, she meant more than that. It was obviously, you know, such an experience that might have been a shock to her system or whatever it was. But he came out and she looked at him, and the mother named the child and said, "You're all right, Payne." That's what she said to him. And there's others who come into our lives, and perhaps some of you have got some protagonists today, protagonists in the workplace that for some reason they think you've got their position. Because that can happen sometimes. God elevates you, takes you to the next level, gives you a promotion at work or whatever. And actually somebody's sitting there thinking, "You got my job. You know, I should have got that." You know, and actually then you've got to try and manage your way through that and navigate your way through the emotions and through human nature. Others stick labels of condemnation on us. And I tell you, today is a day for you to decide to remove those labels, to reject those labels that have been called over you, because the word says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Thank you. And that's okay, you know, let's give the glory to the Lord. You know, it's nothing to do with us. But you know, the thing with this guy, his name isn't the thing that makes him outstanding, because, you know, Jabez was probably quite a popular name, but it's his character. His character makes him outstanding. He was more honorable than his brothers. That actually, whatever label had been stuck on him, you know, he decided to keep walking. He wasn't gonna curl over under someone else's condemnation and in someone else's label that they wanted to stick on him. He asked much and he obtained much. And the Lord does great things for those who are courageous in prayer, those who are passionate in prayer. Campbell Morgan said, "We are halted by the story of one man, this man, who took his need directly to God and obtained the answer of God's grace." And so his prayer reflected the meaning of his name, because he said, "Lord, keep me from harm, keep me from evil, and free from pain." Because it's not necessarily the physical pain that can take us out. And for those of you who have suffered with physical pain, I can empathize. I've had bouts of that and moments of that in my own life. And until you experience it, you know, you don't know what that can feel like. But for all those who work in, you know, the world of medicine, then I know that, you know, you administer relief to people from pain on a daily basis. And I'm so grateful for the times when I've had that ministry to me administered. But this is a different pain. This is the pain that wounds your heart. This is the sort of pain that goes so deep and penetrates you, you know, that nobody else knows about, and you don't even know how to speak about it. And so we have the wonderful verse in Romans 8 where, you know, sometimes we don't even know how to pray because of the pain that we're feeling. But that's okay, because the Holy Spirit will groan on our behalf. The Holy Spirit intercedes with our groanings that cannot be uttered. So I thank God that in my own prayer life, God is not limited, you know, by my vocabulary, because he can go beyond all that I can ask or imagine. But God knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows whatever pain you might have been living with, perhaps for too long. And perhaps this might represent some hope for you, in that you could take this prayer for yourself, knowing that this guy knew what it was to have that pain of the heart inflicted on him, and decided he was going to seek God for his breakthrough and not let go until he received it. So it's the little prayer with a big prize. It's an ordinary man who received an extraordinary response from God. And he prayed this prayer, "Oh, that you would bless me." Not just bless me, but bless me indeed. And that's why that King James Version is so powerful. That word indeed makes all the difference. Because this was a man that no matter the pain he was feeling or the hurt that he carried for too long, decided that he was going to bless God and God was going to bless him. And when he came to God in prayer, obviously he came recognizing, you know, that God was the answer. And sometimes, you know, we can talk about the pain. We can talk about the stuff. We can seek out our best friend and share it with them, and we'll get all sorts of sympathy. But sympathy keeps us in the situation. That's what sympathy does. But Jesus always reached out with compassion. He reached out with compassion and drew people out of their pain. The miracle was always in the stretch. Jesus reached out his hand and healed people. Then we prayed about blind Bartimaeus in the small room beforehand, and Bartimaeus was determined that even though people, you know, were trying to shut him up because he was blind, he was a beggar, and actually he was the lowest of society, that actually he heard that Jesus was passing by and he was going to make sure he didn't miss his moment. And so he cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David, didn't he? He cried out, and although the crowd told him to shut it, you know, Jesus heard. And that cry of his heart stopped Jesus in his tracks. And there are times in our lives when we cry out to God out of desperation, out of pain, because on this occasion we can't solve it. And actually we're taught by the world to fix everything, aren't we? You know, we're, you know, self-development and all that stuff. And, you know, we're the answer to our own problems. You know, there is no God, there is no faith, all that sort of stuff. But actually, when we as the people of God, as a child of God, cry out, he'll stop in his tracks.
Amen.
No matter where he's going, he'll stop in his tracks. And he called blind Bartimaeus forward, and he calls you today. And then he asked this simple question, as he always did. Blind man standing in front of Jesus, and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" He could have said, "I suppose go down to Specsavers." I don't know. But actually, what we think is obvious sometimes, even when we're praying for people, actually, you know, Jesus wants to know, what do we want him to do for us? Can you answer that question for yourself? What do you want him to do for you? If he asked you, "What do you want me to do for you?" what would you say? But Jabez, he knew what to pray. And he said, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." Amen. I think it says he cried out, something like that. Yeah, it says Jabez cried out. Sometimes I think we're too British. And we go, "Oh, Lord." I was trying to do a Scottish accent. "That thou wouldest bless me indeed. That thou would enlarge my borders, O Lord. May your hand be upon me, Lord. And free me from pain." We get very polite. So polite. So polite. Too polite in the prayer meeting sometimes. Too polite when we're seeking God. I know people say God's not deaf, but we're Pentecostals. It's all right. We can let it out sometimes because he's filled us with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I really let him have it. You know, sometimes it's just a one-word prayer. Help! Some of you need to be released from yourself. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Hallelujah.
That's fantastic. I sort of walk, you know, very often I have to escape the desk of the study, you know, to get out and meet with God, because so much admin, so many emails, and all that stuff that comes. And I never came into ministry for all that. I came in to delve into the Word deeper and actually seek God more. That's why I came in. So sometimes I've got to leave that laptop thing and just get out there, stick a pair of earphones on, and just worship. And I see, you know, I see so many nutters out there anyway. I just start worshiping in the park when I'm walking along. And I don't care. People might, you know, I could be on my phone anyway, couldn't I? I get out and start talking to the Lord in the freedom. We had some great sceneries to look at over the next few days. It's a fantastic part of the world, isn't it? This, you know, just like a few minutes, and you've got everything going in terms of God's creation. It's like, you know, you've got every reason to worship, even if you can't sing. But he let it out. Cried out! "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." And so here we have an act of worship. Because actually, if we can position ourselves, no matter what our situation, no matter what our circumstances, to actually worship and cry out to God despite our feelings, let me tell you, you will have a breakthrough before you know it. Because that's true worship. God acknowledges and receives the sacrifice of praise. Not just the times when you can hold it all together. Not just the times when you can be polite. I look very, very holy. Oh, Lord, bless me. Bless me, bless me, bless me. I think sometimes we need to get out of the bless me club. I'll actually really break through with the rest of that prayer. Because there are times in our lives when we need more than a lot of usual blessing. So here is a man who is blessing God and requesting blessing of an unusual nature upon his life. Here was a man who understood that with God on his side, he was a majority. No matter what opposition, no matter what the challenge. Hello. Is that the Holy Spirit? Or that was God's assistant saying, carry on. You got 3 minutes left. Some of you need to receive that revelation today that you are a majority with God on your side. It doesn't matter who's up against you, what's up against you. You know, size and intimidation don't count with God. They don't count in the spiritual battles of life because of who you are in Christ Jesus. And when we get deliberate and intentional about our prayer life, things can happen. On the outside, we may look weak. We may look insignificant. We may have many flaws and imperfections. But I'm reminded that when the people wanted Saul to be their king, you know, and he was head and shoulders above everyone else, God said, actually, you know, the man that I want is a man who's after my own heart. I don't look at the outward appearance. So there are spiritual giants in the room today. Some of them are older ladies, and you never think it. But they're warriors when they go to prayer in the presence of God. And I thank God for the prayers that have been prayed over my life. There, some of you are younger ladies. Some of you are young guys. Some of you are other guys. And you are giants for the Lord and warriors. And I just encourage you to keep going. But sometimes the blessing is preceded by sorrow. And actually many times ask, where is God when it all goes wrong? Where is God in the middle of that then? And actually, I just came back from the Middle East, spent some time standing with our persecuted brothers and sisters. And they're not asking for us to pray for them in terms of it will all be better. What their prayer is will you pray that we'll be strong to stand? That's what they pray. Amazing, they lost everything. Everything. And yet, where is God? In the midst of all that, let me tell you. In the midst of your deepest, darkest pain, he's right in the middle of it. That's where he is. It's right there. Right there. Right there. Because he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Thank you, Lord. Spurgeon said to his congregation regarding this line, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." He said, "I commend it as a prayer for yourselves, dear brethren and sisters, one which will be available at all seasons." I don't know what season you're in today, whether it's summer or winter or springtime and harvest, but it's seasons. Life is seasonal. And if you're in the summertime and the harvest time, thank God for that. And then some of you might be in the valley and you might be going through stuff. God's in the middle of that. He's in the winter. He's in the winter. When all the leaves have fallen and it's a bit choppy, he's in the middle of that. Praise God, the seasons keep changing, don't they? And we're sort of, you know, we're desperate, aren't we, for a bit of sunshine? And we had a bit over the last few days. And you might be desperate for the sunshine to come. But keep walking. Keep walking. Because you'll come through whatever season you're in. I know the Holy Spirit is ministering right now. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
and just receive the Holy Spirit's presence right now. Receive it right now. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, we prayed your Holy Spirit in, and graciously you came, Holy Spirit. You always come at our invitation. And Lord, you know the hearts that are hurting, the hearts that are in pain, the hearts that are feeling lost right now, the hearts that have been overwhelmed. But Lord, I just pray with all of my heart that people, you know, across this congregation, you know, precious saints of God, will be able to break through politeness and cry out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me. Indeed. Spurgeon said, this prayer will be available for you at all seasons. A prayer to begin the Christian life with, a prayer to end it with. And I've been there in those moments right at the end with precious saints of God. And I've seen people finish well. And it's great to finish well. I've seen older men in the faith, brothers in the faith, going through to promotion, running across the finish line with worship in their hearts. It's a prayer to begin the Christian life with, to end it with, and a prayer end in terms of being promoted to glory, I assume he meant there. And a prayer which would never be unseasonable in your joys or in your sorrows. There are many who are blessed, but there are not many who are blessed indeed. And my prayer for you is that you will be blessed indeed. I only done the first point, but I'm wrapping it up and passing it back to Pastor God. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, MLG. Let's stand a wee second. We're going to pray. Fiona, worship team, do you want to come back? You know, you may need to have that moment of just coming before the Lord and making that physical step, that physical action. Lord, would you bless me indeed of coming and knowing that in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the hurt, in the middle of this whatever season it is that you're going through, to be able to say, you know, I'm not on my own. I know that God's with me, but I'm not on my own because there are others who are standing with me in prayer. And our prayer ministry team would love to be able to pray with you. So if you have need this morning, once we begin to worship again, you feel free to come and stand at the front. Again, there's nothing special about the front other than it's a bit more space than in the middle of the aisles and health and safety, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you feel free to come and stand, knowing that others will stand with you and will pray in faith. Because at the end of that verse in, of the prayer of Jabez, it says, and God granted his request. Wouldn't it be good leaving this place with a confidence saying that God has heard, and with the faith in our hearts of knowing that we would experience God granting our request? So if you need prayer this morning as we worship, then you come. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you want to know and pray that prayer and say, I need God's help, I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ, knowing that he gave his life so that you could be free from your sin, then you come down and there are some who will be able to talk and pray and explain a little bit more about what it is to be a whole life follower, committed follower to the Lord Jesus Christ and becoming a Christian. So let's worship. Let's call out to God. Let's cry out to God. If you need to come, then you come. Prayer ministry team will be willing to pray. Thank you.